Welcome to the third episode of the ALI Sim. We're here with Robert Kels, who has founded a company called Green PT, which is all about sustainable DPT models or sustainable AI. So without further ado, I'll let Robert introduce himself.
My name is Robert Kels. I'm the founder of Green PT. I'm spending basically the half of my life founding companies. One of the things connecting the dots between the companies is that I try to use technology to solve social and environmental challenges. And that's also the reason I founded Green PT. And Green PT is an AI provider where we, it's a sustainable and privacy-friendly AI provider. Where we host open weight models on sustainable infrastructure. And we also do things with the models. We change the behavior. Which make them 20 to 30% more efficient when you host the same model on our infrastructure without our changes. And we're currently live, and it's very, very excited. Yeah.
Awesome. And how do you enable businesses to be more sustainable with AI? Because AI has its own supply chain. So which part of the supply chain are you? Are you on my screen when I type in ChatGPT? How would your company work with those sort of tools to make them even more efficient?
Yeah, so basically what we do is we do everything our own. So we host models, and we also provide users using like our models. But is your question more who is my target group? Like who is using it right now? Do you mean that?
Well, my question is, how does your company work? So is it, like a lot of people listening to this podcast might not know how AI works.
Yeah.
Or
they
might have to work with it on the screen. How does it actually work? What's the supply chain?
And what supply chain. Actually, it's a variant of ChatGPT. Like we have a chat with a similar interface where you create an account where you can chat. We have a language model, a reason model. You can upload documents. You have a web search, a deep search. And what I think what makes us special is what we also have is we also have insights of your usage. So you can see live what your usage is of the session you're working in. So for example, if you're chatting with the chat, you can see what the usage is. And we also give the user feedback to go to a new session if the session gets too long. So for people who maybe don't know, but every time you are like chatting with ChatGPT, Anthropic, like Claude, or with GreenPT, and you have like multiple like a session with multiple threads. Every time you ask something, the whole session, the whole thread, is sent to the model. And the larger your input, the more electricity it costs. So we encourage also users when the session is getting too long to go to a new chat to start over, because a lot of people are using AI also to like ask like all kind of questions. Just hey, I'm asking ChatGPT something on my mobile, and then like the next day they ask in the same session something totally different, and then it's better to start in a new session because you send everything to the model. One of the most important factors in sustainability and AI is obviously where is your data center situated, which country, but also how does it get like where does it get the electricity from? And our data center we use is powered by 100% renewable energy. And also, if we have the luck to scale and we need more, then we always should choose server centers with specific specifications. And when you see all the investments they are doing now, I think they need to try harder to make the data centers more sustainable. They do a little, but I don't think they do enough. Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of how you make your energy renewable, mm-hmm. how does it work exactly?
Yeah. So basically we rent like the H100 servers you need for AI. So we rent it from a housing provider, and so basically how it works. This is more, I think, more applicable on Europe. Is that the data center we have? It's powered by 100% renewable energy, and that means that the grid. So if you have like a country, if you have like country Europe, in this case it's France, and it delivers energy, electricity to the server center, and the energy provider is delivering 100% renewable energy, but in the whole Europe, it's not always possible for the electricity companies to do that. So they guarantee as much as possible to obviously 100%, but when they need to put like gray energy or other sources of energy in the grid, then out the company where we rent from, they compensate the rest. And it's like, I think it's like over 90% is just renewable, but the other percentage they compensate it. And then if you have that, then you're allowed to say it's 100% renewable. It's ISO norm. Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of how you make it recyclable, you told me earlier that you have the water that's used to cool the data centers is then recycled into heating. Can you explain that, please? And why do we have to cool data centers?
Yeah. So basically, if you have if you in the past we only had CPUs, so that it's a processor, and they use a little amount of like energy when you like go to a website or whatever. But when AI came, it was already before, but when ChatGPT came out with their model and everything got accelerated in the AI space, basically also the demand for the GPU servers increased a lot. And the GPU servers are really energy hungry. They get more efficient along the way, but also we need more compute because also the calculations get like larger and larger. And these GPUs servers, they use a lot of electricity, but also get like really hot. So you need to cool them, the same as the CPUs, but the GPUs as well. You need to cool them with, you can do that with water, but you can also do that with air. And our server centers, they reuse the water to, so when they use the water, they reuse it, they don't throw it away. that means that they have like a really efficient use of like water usage in their data center, which is really important also for your sustainability.
Yeah. And just to put that into layman's terms to people, if I'm using my laptop or computer and I hear that the fan going on, that's to cool it down. So that's the equivalent of that for data centers. So if you imagine lots of chips or GPUs, graphics processing units running in a massive tower, processing all this data from wherever you are in the world, that creates heat, and heat needs cooling in order for the machine to work as good as it can do to give the answer from your prompts back onto your screen. So have I explained it properly, Robert?
Yeah, you explained it properly. And so it's funny, you mentioned this, the heat of your computer and also the usage of your computer. We had a discussion with the team the other day about, because we are also calculating, we give the insights, I told it earlier, and we were discussing if we need to add the electricity of the user's laptop in our calculations, because it's also you're also using electricity when your computer or MacBook or laptop is enabled or on. Yeah, but we didn't do it because it's too complicated to measure, because everybody has a different laptop, so that's just difficult. Yeah.
And that's another point as well, is how do you standardize measurement? Because let's say I'm using a Jupyter notebook online to create Python scripts and run it for particular outcomes for my clients with my business. And I select a GPU as my method of brain for processing this information. How do we standardize the way that that's reported and how businesses can improve, right? Because if we can't measure across standardized metrics and standardized procedures, then how can we adopt that sort of method of improvement?
Yeah, I think this is like a really important question in sustainability and AI, transparency and also standardization. So what you see now, because we are in the early days, a lot of people and companies, they try to use their own metrics. And most of the time, these metrics are in their advantage. So when they, for example, Google, they released a report and they had the metrics, and then we can learn from them what they did. It's really like it's sort of open, but still it's in their advantage because they left like data away. So right now there isn't any standardization about how to measure it, and what we basically did is there are some things we know and there are some things we don't know. And basically what we try to do is all the things we know, we wrote them down and we measured them. And all the things we know, like, for example, the electricity, the calculation from electricity to CO2, we know what it is. We know what the calculation is. Our hosting provider have given us this data. We know the uses of the GPUs. We know what if you just like send a prompt and we get like the information back, we can also calculate what the electricity usage is of the GPU. But the CPU and also the whole data center, and for example, the manufacturing of the hardware, or for example, the capacity. Obviously, if you are like with one person on your infrastructure, you use more than when you are with like 100% capacity. That makes it really complicated. So basically what we did there is we made assumptions, and we also released a version where we say, hey, this is we are still improving it, but this already gives you like a certain insight and usage where we think, hey, this is valid, but we are still like gathering information to improve it. And also what is really hard is that every setup is different. So the setup of Google is totally different than OpenAI. They are all also on super scale, so they have like also a lot of data centers, which makes everything different than what we do. But what we try to do is to open the discussion and also open source our data and how we calculate it and what we do. And I think what we want is to invite other people from the sustainability community that give us feedback, and this is how we did it. And if you know a better way, you can help us, we will like implement it and we will update it. And I think that's also the way it should work, because I also think that we also don't know everything. Yeah.
You mentioned the GPUs, Can you explain the difference between the CPU and the GPU for everyone listening in layman's terms? Imagine you're explaining it to somebody that doesn't know anything about technology.
Oh, yeah. So basically, a CPU is a processor, a standard processor, which is in every laptop and computer. And a GPU, it's a graphic processor. And it was a little bit of a coincidence that the GPUs that like when they start training the AI models, they find out that GPUs were like more efficient and were needed to do the calculations. So that's also the reason I think everybody knows this, that NVIDIA is the largest. Like the largest company in the world, like in stock value. And the reason for that is that they make these graphic chips, graphic processors, and you need them to train AI models. That's basically where they are for right now. Yeah.
Thank you. And if you were the CEO of NVIDIA, if you were Jensen Huang, what would you do right now? As a plan, immediately and also in the next few years, what would you prioritize as a business in a positive way, of course?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I will answer the question also for my role I having now. I think I will invest a lot in efficiency. What they say is that in 2030 already, we need like the double amount of electricity for the server centers we are using right now. That's in like 4 years. And making the chips more efficient, it's like, if you make the chips more efficient, it has like a really large positive impact on the environment, but I also think it can be a business model. So the models also get like larger and larger and larger. So if you use the same models as we currently use, that will not be possible and that will not work. So I think it's that they need to be get more efficient. But the other thing is, right now they are just like everything. Obviously, if you make something more efficient and sustainable, you can also make money out of it. There's a double incentive, and it is like you can make more money because you can store more users on less servers, and it's better for the environment. There's also another thing, what I mentioned before, is I think what you read about in the US and where the foundation companies where they built their server centers, like why don't you choose a spot, for example, next to a hydro platform, or hydro plant, because when you place, for example, in Norway, they have like a lot of renewable energy, and if you place a service center next to a hydro plant, it's always sustainable because there's less. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's a great idea to have. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're saying the data center should be nearby any resources that they need to use, right?
Okay. Sorry. Can you?
So you said that the data centers should be placed in places that are nearby resources that they can use. So mm-hmm. nearby large pools of water and mm-hmm. things like that, so that they can immediately use it, right?
Yeah. So OpenAI is doing this, by the way. So they are going to build like a large, super skilled server center in Norway next to a hydro a hydro plant, which I think it's a good thing. And in Europe, we have a lot of renewable energy. If I see, so how many server centers reached out to us to say, hey, we are a renewable energy as well. We also have the certifications. And we also have like space. So I think that's interesting. Yeah.
And if you were in the future, in the year 2050, what do you see the AI landscape looking like, and how will the everyday person be aware of the sustainability of AI, and what will they be doing?
Do you think is this question sustainability or just a broader AI question?
I'd say in general in 2050.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's in 2050. It will be really different what we having now. So if you see what the what the innovation already did in the last 2 or 3 years, and it's like increasing every like it's increasing exponential. So if we take a look in the future, I think almost every job we're doing now will change. And even if you take a look to the last 2 years, for example, for developers, copywriters, like everything has already changed for them, but it goes really slow. I don't believe that we have like a lot of like unemployment worldwide, but everything will change. So it will like the jobs will change. But I'm really a positive guy about AI, and I also think that it will help us a lot. I also think that the smarter we make the algorithms, the more problems we can solve. So also environmental problems. I also think in terms of sustainability and AI, if we make the AI model smarter, it can also help us increase the innovation to get more sustainable energy. For example, if you see, take a look to like the nuclear energy, it has like a lot of like garbage, which it's like hard to remove. But if you if you like solve that, or you have like other techniques for example, you have the sun, the water energy, other the renewable and green sources, which we still I think can use, that will also help the sustainability.
Awesome. One more question would be for the viewers or for the listeners. If you could ask them one question, what would it be? Could be anything to do with AI.
I need to ask a question.
Yes, a question to the audience listening. Any question, you can have a think about it. But any question about AI, for them to answer in the comments, and just to get them thinking.
Yeah, so it's a question for the another basically a statement. Yeah, so a question. So did you ever thought about sustainability and AI? Was it did it came up in your mind that sustainability has like a negative impact on the environment?
Amazing. I don't know how many people know as much as you do about AI and the sustainability, but I'm pretty sure there's not many.
And no,
the AI supply chain isn't something that we always hear every day. We hear about using ChatGPT or using Gemini, for example, but we don't always understand or are made aware of really the supply chain, from prompting on your screen to talking to the cloud, the data centers actually physically running somewhere in the world, needing cooling, there being obviously CO2 emissions as well as a result of that, because of the consumption of electricity causing all of these consequences. So I think for me, in the next few years, there'll be a lot more focus on sustainability of AI tools. And I think we're doing a great job. I think companies, it's a brand new space, right? Generative AI is only 3 years old in terms of the way that we're using it as a world globally. Since ChatGPT publicly was released in 2022. So I think definitely in the next 3 to 4, maybe 5 years, sustainability will be a big focus. And there's so many data centers being made in the UK. A lot of the big companies have invested in data centers, billions of pounds for the next 5 years of investment here.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one other thing which I'm not sure if we have still have time, but which is also important to know about sustainability. It's not always about the large companies, but it's also the behavior of the users. So, and obviously the large companies provide services and say, hey, you can use us as much as you can and do it. But there's also like, maybe you can say there's, if you have like the awareness and you say, hey, for this question, I used Google before and now I'm using ChatGPT. Maybe just using Google. Yeah,
that's really good, actually. So in terms of the users, what can they do to make themselves more sustainable? I mean, a couple for me is you can use less words in your prompt, right? That's number one. Number two is you use low battery power mode on your laptop, which is what I do. Put the brightness down.
Exactly. Yeah. So the thing is, I think, or if you take a look to GreenPT, that our largest gain, like future gain for getting like our infrastructure more sustainable, is helping the user use GreenPT less. And that means, and this is also something the large companies are also busy with. If you follow the foundation models and the like OpenAI and Claude, etc., the last couple of 4 to 5 months, they released all kind of manuals, prompt books, prompt cookbooks, where they said, hey, if you want to get like the most out of our product, you should use it like this. And I think that's like a first step. That's a first step of something which they will also build in the product itself. So why should you have like a manual for like a technical AI product? So what we are doing is so it's what I would say, people are really bad in asking questions, person to person, but also person to computer, and even person to computer. So if your input question, your prompt is really bad and short, and there is no like instruction, there's no role, there's no context, you also need more attempts to come to the answer you want, you're like happy with. If your input is well structured, it has an instruction, it has context, and it knows what the what it is about, then the AI will give you a more accurate answer. So a lot of times, if you say, "Hey, this AI doesn't work for me," you should take a look to your question, because most of the time, if you have like a good question and it's well structured, the AI will give a good answer. And this is like something we are really busy with right now, is how can we, we can control the output. If you put something in, we can control everything comes out. But like what's in somebody's mind and put it in, that's really hard. And it's basically a UX question. And that's something we are also busy on. Yeah. Yeah,
that's very interesting to say. And UX is key to using these tools.
Yeah.
One more question, actually, which I wasn't going to ask. Have you used Prompt Zero?
Yes, I think so.
What do you think of it?
It's It enhances your prompts, right? Is that
So prompt zero allows a user to put in a pre-prompt, which I call it, to allow or inform the AI tool to act in prompt zero mode, which makes it more sustainable in the user interface. So your business is the processing behind the thinking and delivering of the information back to you in the answer in the background. But prompt zero is in the questioning of that tool. It makes it programs it in a certain way that it thinks a bit more efficiently.
Basically, I use it because we are currently building something similar in GreenPT. So when you're like typing your question, it checks, it has like a small, so we create a small prompt engineer agent which helps you making your prompt more sustainable before you send it to the LLM. But there are some like hard things there because you need a smaller model for your agent instead of your large LLM. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Then you need a large LLM to improve your prompt. But in the end, it will take more. It will use more CO2, or like it's less efficient. So, but it's we are currently busy with something similar. But it's this is super. This is if you use these kind of tools, it's super effective. If your input is correct, then you need like less attempts, and then you can gain like I think 50 to 60% extra efficiency if you do it well.
Yes. I call it prompt iterations. So in a conversation, you have one prompt, two prompt, three prompt, for example. If you have three iterations, it'll be the third prompt responding to the first answer, making three prompts in total. So prompt efficiency, I think, is key for the future of AI, simply because the amount of energy that we globally use to have these tools giving us answers is huge. On that note, I just want to say it was great talking to you.
Yeah,
that's the end of the episode. If you have any other questions for the audience, please let them know. Otherwise, we'll end it here, and I look forward to publishing it.
Yeah, so thank you for the invitation, and really enjoyed it. Thank you.